Third day, 33rd week, ordinary time 1. The first reading from the first book of Maccabees, chapter 2, verses 15 to 29. Then the king of fixers who were enforcing the apostasy came to the city of Modin to make them offer sacrifice. Many from Israel came to them, and Mattathiah and his sons were assembled. Then the king of Pharaoh spoke to Mattathiah as follows: "You are a leader, honored and great in this city, and supported by sons and brothers. Now, be the first to come and to do what the king commands. At all the Gentiles and the men of Judah and those that are left in Jerusalem have done. Then you and your sons will be numbered among the friends of the king, and you and your sons will be honored with silver and gold and many gifts." But Mattathiah answered and said in a loud voice, "Even if all the nations that live under the rule of the king obey him and have chosen to do his commandments, departing each one from the religion of his father, yet I, my sons, and my brothers will live by the covenant of our father. Far be it from us to desert the law and the ordinances. We will not obey the king's word by turning aside from our religion to the right hand or to the left." When he had finished speaking these words, a Jew came forward in the sight of all to offer sacrifice upon the altar in Modin, according to the king's command. When Mattathiah saw it be burned with zeal and his heart was stirred, he gave vent to the righteous anger. He ran and killed him upon the altar. At the same time, he killed the king of Pharaoh who were forcing them to sacrifice, and he tore down the altar. Thus, he burned with zeal for the Lord, and Phinehas did again Zimri, the son of Salu. Then Mattathiah cried out in the city with a loud voice, saying, "Let everyone who is zealous for the law and support the covenant come out with me." And he and his sons fled to the hill and left all that they had in the city. Then many who were seeking righteousness and justice went down to the wilderness to dwell there. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, verses 41 to 44. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that even today you knew the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days shall come upon you when your enemies will cut up a bank about you and surround you and hem you in on every side and dash you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Sharing of the reading. First, the theme: a firm faith will not be shaken by worldly temptations. Many people in the world today advocate for relativizing the truth. To them, there is no absolute truth, even their faith in God. Therefore, they practice their faith when situation permits. When the situation does not, they think God will forgive. Such a faith will gradually lead them to the point that they will refuse to be witnesses for God when the persecution happens. In opposition, there are still many who believe they can never relativize the truth and the faith. They only worship the one God and ready to die for their faith. Today, reading show a those who were willing to suffer and ready to sacrifice their life for the truth. In the first reading, the author of the first book of Maccabees continued to show heroic examples in keeping their faith. They were Mattathias and his seven sons. Due to the eager of protecting his faith, he was not persuaded by the promises of the king of his soul. Moreover, he killed a Jew who was betraying God in front of the altar. After that, he gathered all those who were ready to die for their faith, left everything they had behind, and entered a desert to live there. In the Gospel, Jesus knew suffering and death will happen to the people of Jerusalem, because they did not recognize he is the one who came to bring the true peace for them. Second analysis, first reading. I, my son, and my brothers will live by the covenant of our fathers. First point. Mattathias' attitude before the worldly allurement. The author reported, then the king officers who were enforcing the apostasy came to the city of Modin to make them offer sacrifice. Many from Israel came to them, and Mattathias and his sons were assembled. Mattathias and his sons were faced the following challenges. First, many from Israel have denied God and offered sacrifices to idols. Those who do not have a firm faith in God will be easily shaken when they see others betray the God. They will start to suspect what they believe in. This would not happen to Mattathias and his sons because they had a strong faith in God. He declared, even if all the nations that live under the rule of the king obey him and have chosen to do his commandments, departing each one from the religion of his fathers, that I and my son and my brothers will live by the covenant of our fathers. Far be it from us to desert the law and the ordinances. We will not obey the king's words by turning aside from our religion to the right hand or to the left. Second, temptation of power, honor, and material gain. Then the king officers spoke to Mattathias as follows. You are a leader, honored and great in this city, and supported by sons and brothers. Now be the first to come and do what the king commands. At all the Gentiles and the men of Judah and those that are left in Jerusalem have done. Then you and your son will be numbered among the friends of the king, and you and your son will be honored with silver and gold and many gifts. Those who live according to the world standard are easily fell in the temptation, but Mattathias and his son knew the thing could not be compared with the glorious life with God. Third, temptation of protecting one's precious life. This temptation is the most dangerous one because it threatens a man's nature to protect his life. One can overcome this temptation only if he believes that God returned his life together with an eternal glory and if he had a strong love for God. The second point, the eager reaction of Mattathias. When he had finished speaking the words, a Jew came forward in the sight of all to offer sacrifice upon the altar in mourning, according to the king's command. When Mattathias saw it, he burned with zeal and his heart was stirred. He gave vent to righteous anger. He ran and killed him upon the altar. At the same time, he killed the king officer who was forcing them to sacrifice, and he tore down the altar. Thus, he burned with zeal for the Lord, and Phinehas did against Zimri, the son of Salu. Then Mattathias cried out in the city with a loud voice, saying, "Let everyone who is zealous for the law and support the covenant come out with me." And he and his son fled to the hill and left all they had in the city. Then many who were seeking righteousness and justice went down to the wilderness to dwell there. We should not so quick to condemn Mattathias' reaction because Jesus himself did the similar thing. He came to the temple and making a whip of cords, he rode them all with the sheep and oxen out of the temple. And he poured out the coins of the money changer and overturned their table. He could not be quiet when he saw people making his father's house at a house of trade. Moreover, the law permits people to protect themselves when their lives are threatened. Mattathias and his sons are probably killed by Antiochus if they did not offer sacrifices to idols as the king wanted. Second, the gospel. Jesus wept for Jerusalem. Third point, Jesus wept. Incarnated in a body, Jesus fully had compassion as a human being. The gospel reported Jesus wept twice. First, because he had pity for Jerusalem as in today's passage. In the eighth station of his way to the cross, Jesus stopped to console people of Jerusalem because they wept for him. He told them, "Daughter of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourself and for your children." See Luke chapter 23, verse 28. Jesus clearly knew why he suffered, but the people of Jerusalem did not know it. The point Jesus would like to emphasize was they should weep for themselves and for their children because of their sin and their children's sin that he had to endure his passion and death. Second, because he had pity for Lazarus. See John chapter 11, verse 35. Many people believed Jesus wept for Lazarus because he was no longer living in the world. This belief needs to be revealed because it had no firm foundation. It might be better for Lazarus if he would not return to the world because he would be united with Jesus and share his glory when Jesus resurrected from the dead. And Jesus' enemy had no reason to kill him. Jesus wept because he had witnessed human suffering when they faked death. He would like Mary and all people to understand that whoever lives and believes in him will never die. See John chapter 11, verse 25. If all understand it, that will be a joy. Second, there are two reasons for Jesus weeping. First, because Jerusalem people did not recognize him. At about middle of the Olive Mountain, today there is a chapel called Jesus Wept. The tradition believed it was here when Jesus saw the whole view of Jerusalem city and its beauty. He wept because he had compassion for the people. They didn't recognize he the one who came to bring the true peace for them. Would that even today you knew the thing that made for peace? But now they are hidden from your eyes. The name of the city, Jerusalem, is combined by the verb Zaras, mean to establish, and the noun Salem, mean peace. Jesus came from heaven to establish peace on earth, and he was standing before them, but they did not recognize him. Second, Jerusalem will be destroyed. Jesus continued, for the day shall come upon you when your enemy will cut up a bank about you and surround you and hem you in on every side and dash you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. The prophecy was fulfilled on the year of 70 AD, when the Roman army encircled and destroyed the city and its temple. Until now, Jerusalem temple is still not rebuilt, and the traces of ruin are still there for pilgrims to see. Application in life. We should have a firm faith in life, that is, to love and to worship God above all things. We should not serve two masters, even we must sacrifice everything to be loyal to God. Men weep because they regret and love. Human weeping can be wrong because a reason for regretting and weeping is wrong. Jesus' weeping was always right because the reason why he wept is true. We need to find out the reason for our weeping. Amen.